Simeon, who was in the temple, and he's a priest in full robes. I forgot to mention, but this dedication of the firstborn that Mary and Joseph are doing, you do that in front of a priest, you do that to a priest in the temple. So, Simeon is in full priestly robes, looking out for Jesus. I always like to think, maybe every baby that came up to him, he thought, is this the one? Is this going to be it? Especially with his promise. And then you've also can draw Anna, who she's in the temple, and she is this prophet, a bit like Elijah, but less hairy. And she is also looking out for Jesus. And again, maybe for her too, every person who came up, she gave the same sermon. The Lord's coming. Get ready for him. And then the final maybe artwork you could do is these two characters will be the last as we're summing up all the Bible, getting ready for Jesus. All these characters waiting and watching for Jesus. So maybe just as Simeon and Anna are over, hovering over the baby Jesus, getting excited, maybe have all the other Old Testament saints we've looked at. As a few, we've looked at Adam and Eve. We looked at Abraham and Sarah. They also were looking forward. You've got Moses, King David, or Isaiah and Malachi. But any Old Testament saint would do. So, with that in mind, door's open. Yeah, pull it, yeah. So, let's start and look at Simeon and Anna. So, in Luke 2, it's a bit odd because Jesus has been born and this whole sermon is getting ready for Christmas. But we do want to look at it now, before Christmas, because this story is still about the whole Bible getting ready for Christmas. And it's how these two characters that we'll look at today were also waiting for Christmas. Their story is what we're feeling, getting excited for Christmas. That's just around the corner. That's the story for these two. So, in this story, in Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph are coming to dedicate their firstborn. And this was a law that was set in the Old Testament under Moses, right after the Exodus. And it requires them to go to the temple and make a sacrifice to redeem this child. And this story kicks off as Mary and Joseph are getting into the temple. And looking at how they reacted after Simeon, it might be they didn't quite realise just how important this event was, both to the Bible, but also to these two characters, Simeon and Anna. So, who are Simeon and Anna? Why are we looking at them before Christmas as they're looking at the baby Jesus? And what's their story? So, first, Simeon. So he was a priest, and normally it was a priest who did this firstborn ceremony. So he's a priest, and this is someone's job was to teach and follow the law that Moses had set all those thousands of years ago. But there is something unique about this priest. And then have a look at verse 26. Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, Jesus. And that's why it says in this section about how he's been waiting for Jesus, and why in verse 29, Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So, Simeon is finally ready to die, knowing he has seen the Saviour of the world. But the next question you might ask is, how long had Simeon been waiting? Well, Simeon was a part of an event over 250 years before the birth of Jesus. there was a Bible translation project between 250 and 300 BC about, where the entire Bible was getting translated into Greek. And this was because, due to Alexander the Great...
Ptolemy Philadelphus.
He led it, but who was the one who made Greek the most widespread language? It was
Alexander the Great. Right.
Oh, okay. Yes. Due to Alexander the Great, Greek was the most widespread, but it was Ptolemy who led this project. But due to Alexander, the whole world needed a Greek Bible to read. So, this Bible translation was called the Septuagint, which means 70. And this is because, as traditions say, there were around 70 Bible scholars and translators who came from around the world to write the Septuagint in about 250 BC. Now, Simeon, the same from our story in Luke, was a part of that 70 group. He was translating the Bible. And the legend goes that Simeon was translating Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And here it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And then Simeon was going to change it from virgin to woman, thinking it's impossible for a virgin to give birth. But he was stopped by the Lord and told to leave it. And, perhaps as a punishment like Zechariah, he would not die until he saw this promise happen. That is the legend. But however it went, Simeon could be over 250 years old, if not over 300 years old. Imagine that. Simeon is told that he won't die until he sees Jesus. But how long did he think that would be? When he was 100 years old, did he think, it's got to be soon, I can't go on much longer? Not only that, but for 170 years, he was waiting and watching on his own. But then Anna joins him. She too is probably very old. At minimum, she's over 80, but it's likely she could be over 100. It says also in Luke 2, 37, that Anna never left the temple, day and night, fasting and praying. So both Simeon and Anna have been desperately waiting and watching for Jesus for a very long time. These two very patient people, a priest and a prophet, watching out for the Lord. So when Jesus finally gets carried in, how immensely excited do you think they are? And I'd like to think it's a bit like that star, that one angel who guided the Magi. How excited was he that that angel, maybe for thousands of years, had been waiting for Eve's promise, and he's the one who gets to light the way. How excited was he? It might be a bit like that. So, this is an amazing story. And last week we looked at how important it was to trust in the word of the Lord, in the promises the Lord has made. So who has trusted more than Simeon and Anna for hundreds of years, waiting and watching for this promise to come true? But why are Simeon and Anna important to the Christmas story? And why have I left them till our last characters, barring Mary and Joseph? And it starts with something Simeon says in his speech. "For my eyes have seen your salvation." This, as well as a lot of what Simeon and Anna say, links very closely to Isaiah chapter 52. So what's important about Simeon and Anna seeing Jesus in Isaiah 52? We'll look at verse 8. Let me turn it over here. So Isaiah 52, verse 8. "Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together They shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. And what are these same watchmen looking out for? Verse 9. They burst into songs together, for the Lord has comforted his people and redeemed Jerusalem. Luke 2:25, Simeon was waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. Luke 2:38, Anna was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna are these watchmen. Both burst out into joy, both waiting for the Lord to arrive, and both seeing Jesus with their own eyes. Simeon and Anna were prophesied about. And as watchmen, it was their job to announce to the church that the Lord had arrived. It's amazing news. It's incredible news, especially for Simeon and Anna, but all round, it's wonderful news. They were waiting for comfort, for peace, for salvation, and for redemption. And this child is going to bring all of those things. Jesus was everything they had been waiting for. But back in Luke, after all the amazing things Simeon had said, he adds that a sword will pierce Mary's soul, her heart. Why does he say that? After all this great news, the person they've been waiting for, how could there be such bad news to break Mary's heart? What would happen to this child that would so hurt Mary? Well, Simeon and Anna are watchmen, waiting for this redemption and comfort of the church, but they don't tell us how. How is this child going to fix everything? What's he going to do that will save everyone? Simeon and Anna don't tell us in Luke, but Isaiah makes it clear what this child will do. In chapter 52, Isaiah shows us that these watchmen waiting for the church to be rescued, waiting for the Lord to arrive, to come. But Isaiah's prophecy carries on into the next chapter. And we actually read a bit of it. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah begins to describe what Jesus will be like. And he begins by talking about Jesus as this servant of the Lord, how amazing he is. And then, when Isaiah says Jesus is the arm of the Lord, he says at the beginning of 53, who will the arm of the Lord be revealed? To whom will the Lord, arm of the Lord be revealed? That actually has huge significance throughout the Bible. This arm or hand of the Lord in the Bible is what saves people. The strength of God, the ability of God, all summarized into one image. And that is what Jesus is. Jesus is all that God is doing. All the power and strength of God in one person. Everything God can do. All the rescuing ability is in Jesus. Now, we stopped at verse 2 of chapter 53. And we saw how it was starting to describe what this child would be like. It says, this child will grow up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. And you might remember in Luke, Luke finishes that Simeon and Anna story by saying how Jesus is growing up with the Lord behind him, empowering him. But this description of Jesus in Isaiah goes further. Jesus has come, even as a baby, to redeem us, to save us, and to heal us. He is our salvation. And in Isaiah 53, he tells us what's going to happen, what Jesus is going to do to make all of those promises come true. So, just to close this talk, let's read and listen closely to chapter 53. I'll just read it for us. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Before I carry on, there is one thing about that verse which is so interesting. Do you remember at the beginning we talked about this dedication of the firstborn? And we kind of breezed over it a little bit. But that comes from the Passover, when every firstborn was supposed to die, but they didn't if they killed a lamb. If a lamb got adopted into their family and that lamb died instead. That's what this is about. And that's what Simeon and Anna were trying to say with this dedication of the firstborn. Anyway, I'll carry on. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. And this is the last bit of it. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. So that is why Simeon said that last line, why it would hurt Mary so much. They were excited for Jesus to come to save them, but they also knew that second chapter, that 53. That's what Jesus was coming to do. So it's an amazing event. It's happy. Everyone's celebrating it. But we all know Jesus has come to be a sacrifice. So that is what Mary has to contend with, even as everyone else is celebrating. But anyway, that's Simeon and Anna, why they were so happy to see Jesus and the importance of this priest and prophet, the whole Bible, the law and the prophets together, waiting and watching for Jesus.